Y'all, I am so excited to be here with y'all today. For those of y'all that don't know who I am, my name is Troy Robinson, and I'm the associate pastor here at Hill Country Bible Church, Georgetown. I'm excited today because I'm doing just a one-off sermon today. So Pastor Corey ended his last sermon series, and next week we're going to start a Christmas sermon series. And so I've been tasked with kind of fill that one awkward Sunday. And I'm really, really excited about this because I believe that there are people here that might be struggling with this just like I am. But before we dive into that, I wanted to say from my family to yours, happy Thanksgiving. I pray that this past weekend and even going forward into the Christmas holiday, that it's going to be filled with fun and food and family and fellowship. And most importantly, I pray that it's going to be filled with Christ Jesus, because that's truly what's important. So from my family to yours, happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas. We're excited for the holiday season. Let's now, before we jump in, go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, first off, just thank you for today, God, and thank you for this time that we get to gather as brothers and sisters in Christ, and we get to dive into your word. God, we're grateful that you give us your word, that way we can come to know you. God, I pray over this time that it's glorifying to you, God, that the words that I speak are not my words, but they're your words, God, and that we would go out this week knowing that you give us true peace. God, we're grateful for this time. We're grateful for your son, Jesus. It's your son's holy name we pray. Amen. All right, so can I say what everybody is thinking right now? I'm going to say majority of us are thinking this. This time of year is chaotic. It's busy, it's stressful, and I would bet that some of your weeks may have looked like this. All right. So for those of y'all that don't know, that is from the movie called Jingle All the Way, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's probably the first time we've ever said his name on this stage. But that movie is all about a dad who promises his son that he is going to get this Turbo Man doll. He told his wife, "Babe, I got it a long time ago." He lied. He did not get it, and so he's now going rushing to store after store. He's getting in all these shenanigans trying to find this Turbo Man action figure for his son. And that's funny, watching that. Right, you see the doors blast open, you see people running into the store, and you see a boot print on the guy's face because people are so excited to get the toys. You see people climbing up the racks trying to find the stuff. You see people pushing each other out of the way, and that's funny. Right? Some of us may have experienced that. My wife and my mom and my sisters, they go out every single year on Black Friday to get some deals, to find the things that they're getting for their friends and for their family. And they told me, y'all, that the outlets was crazy. There are people grabbing bags off of the racks. They're pushing in to try to get their stuff, and it's chaotic this time of year. Maybe you've experienced this firsthand, or maybe you're the one doing the pushing and the shoving. It's crazy. That was funny. But on the flip side, it's also not really that funny, isn't it? We get so wrapped up in the hustle in the bustle of the holiday season. We get wrapped up in the gifts that we're giving. You get wrapped up in the Christmas decorations and the lights. We get wrapped up in the traditions that our families do. We get wrapped up in the trips that we have to take. And I think we tend to forget what truly matters. It's not the lights. It's not the gifts. It's not the trips. It's not the traditions, church family. It's Jesus. Jesus is the most important thing every single day of our lives, our Savior Christ Jesus. And why? Why is Jesus the most important thing every single day? Well, John chapter 3, verse 16 through 18 tells us exactly why he's the most important thing. It says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's only one and only Son." Church family, that is the gospel truth of Christ Jesus. You know, Jesus is the reason that we celebrate this season. Jesus is the only reason that we come in week in and week out on Sundays to lift his name on high and then to go out and share our faith with the people around us. Jesus is the only thing that matters. Brother and sister in Christ Jesus, you're going to hear this a lot this holiday season, but Jesus is the reason for the season. If you hear nothing else today, I pray that you hear this. When you put your faith in Christ Jesus, we have everlasting life. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2 says this, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death." Church family, we have true freedom in Christ Jesus. But I think we forget about this. As we live our day to day, as we are walking with our Lord and Savior, as we're serving the church, as maybe we're leading a Bible study, maybe even as we go off in missions, I think that we forget. We're doing all these amazing things, but I think we forget the true freedom that we have in Jesus. Y'all, I'm not preaching to y'all today. I'm preaching to myself. I've been studying the peace that Jesus gives us over the last several months, and y'all are getting what I've learned, and I'm preaching to myself today. We, and I'm going to speak for myself, I allow stress and anxiety and depression and busyness and my circumstances to creep in. We forget the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. And to prove it to you, while I was preparing for this sermon today, I did some research, and I looked up some insane statistics about the holiday season, and this comes from just last year, 2024, okay? So in 2024, on Black Friday and Cyber Monday, so the weekend that we're in right now, Americans spent a total of $24.1 billion, with a B. $24.1 billion on Black Friday and Cyber Monday. And to put that in perspective a little bit for you, almost 132 million Americans bought at least one thing during that weekend. There's 350 million of us in the United States. And as I was doing this research, I saw that projections were projecting that this year, this weekend we're in right now, we are projected to spend almost $80 billion. $80 billion. That's a lot of money. $80 billion is a lot of money. How much have you spent this weekend? I also found in 2024 that roughly 80 million Americans were going to go travel to somebody on Thanksgiving, and I saw roughly almost 120 million people were traveling for the Christmas holiday as well. Y'all, we put miles on the road. We put miles in the air to go to and from our families to celebrate these things. And if you have traveled for Christmas or Thanksgiving like I have, I used to live in Ohio. When you travel like that, there is stress, there is anxiety, and there is pure chaos. Church family, if we were honest, we'd agree that this time of year is busy, right? We've got deadlines that we have to meet before the new year. We've got family coming into town that we have to clean our house and get prepared for. We have that Black Friday shopping that we just did, and we're looking forward to Cyber Monday to get those deals. We have Christmas parties to prepare for and to prepare to go to. We have gifts to wrap, and we have food to bake. If we're honest, it's a bit overwhelming. I mean, we have the best intentions to celebrate Christmas, but we end up getting stressed out, burnt out and tired. And worst of all, this time of year is meant to be full of joy and love and hope and peace, and Jesus ends up being full of anxiety and fear. For instance, maybe the budget's tight. Maybe you're trying to get that new best thing to keep up with your neighbor or your friends. Maybe some of us have experienced a loss, and we had an empty table at our empty chair at our table at Thanksgiving, and now we're dreading having that same empty spot at Christmas. Maybe some of us lost our job this year, and we still don't have one, so we can't do Christmas this year. Maybe, married people, some of us are having to fake it this year so your kids don't know that your marriage is struggling. Or maybe if you're single, or maybe if you're married and you don't have kids yet, you are dreading those conversations of, when am I getting my grandbaby? When are you getting married? Church family, this time of year can be filled with anxiety and stress and fear and tiredness and loneliness. But is that what God intended for us? I'm going to quote my oldest, Ainsley May, and she would say, Daddy, no, not at all. Love her. No, that is not what God intended for us. And so today, I want to talk about something that's been weighing heavy on my heart. I'm preaching to myself today. And I think there might be a lot of us walking into this room or maybe online who are struggling to find this, and that is God's peace. For most of us, we pray for peace. We ask God for peace. We seek his peace. We read his word and we hear about how he gives us peace, but we end up continuing to feel tired and anxious and depressed and lonely. If you feel that way, church family, you are not alone. I see you. I hear you. I have been you. So today, let's check out what Jesus has to say about his peace. And if you have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to flip to John chapter 14, verse 27. And that's where we're going to get all of our main points today, is in this one verse. And this is Jesus speaking in John chapter 14, verse 27. And he says this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, y'all. Jesus gives us his peace. And so today, for the rest of our time, I want to break down what Jesus was saying, because we all need this in our lives. And some of you right now may have been walking in here going, Troy, I don't need peace. I've got peace. Yes, you do. You need peace. You need that continual peace that Jesus gives us. Maybe you might be thinking, Troy, I don't know. Peace is kind of weird. I don't know about that. You need it. Because you're about to walk out into the world where there is no peace. But maybe, just maybe, there's somebody, and I've talked to a lot of y'all, but there's somebody walking in here today, or maybe even online, who's come in here and is full of regret, or they're anxious, or they're depressed, or they have a decision they have to make that they don't know how to, and you're like, Troy, I need peace. If that's you, know that I see you and that I hear you. You're not alone. So before we dive in today, let's define what that word peace means. Okay, so Jesus says this word peace, and so we need to define it. That way we're all on the same page. And so that word peace comes from the Greek word eirene. Okay, eirene. And it means this: the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot of whatsoever sort that is. That's the peace I want to have. Fearing nothing and content with what God is giving me. Sign me up. You know, Jesus speaks of a peace that only he can give. We are going to hear that there's a peace that he gives us that transcends all understanding, but I need you to know that that peace that he is talking about is specifically for believers in Christ Jesus. And if you're not a believer in Jesus, I pray that you will be a believer in him soon. Now that we have peace defined, let's jump back into what Jesus said, which brings us to main point number one, which is this: Jesus gives us his peace. Look at John 14, verse 27. Jesus says this: "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." Church family, we have been given a peace that only Jesus can give, and he gives it freely and he gives it continually. Now you might be asking, well, how do we receive that peace, Troy? How do we tap into that peace that only Jesus gives us? Well, the God of the creation of the world knew you're going to ask that question, and he answered it right before Jesus said this. In John chapter 14, verses 16, 17, and 26, Jesus says this: "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and he will be with you. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." So the answer to the question of Troy, how do I receive that peace? It's through the advocate or the Holy Spirit. Through the power of the Holy Spirit is how we receive his peace. When you put your faith in Christ Jesus, God's word says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Church family, when you put your faith in Christ Jesus, you are sealed. You are indwelled with the Holy Spirit. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And we have the hope and the power of the living God living inside of us. But we have to utilize his peace. And this leads me to a question for you. When things are going crazy, the holidays are getting after you, the work is stressful, the marriage is on the rocks, the kids are misbehaving, fill in the blank with whatever, do you utilize his peace? When you think about your life, how you react, how you live your life on the day-to-day, what you think about, what you worry about, do you have his peace? Do you rest in God's peace? If you do, awesome. How amazing does it feel knowing that you are in his presence and you have his peace in times of trouble? You know, it's freeing knowing that we can rely on the creator of the universe. But if you're a believer in Christ Jesus and you don't feel his peace, you don't feel his presence, I want to point you to him. I want to give you practical advice that you can take when you walk out of those doors, go to your car, and you deal with the world again. So in those times of trouble, I'm going to give you the churchy answer, and I'm going to ask you, I'm going to plead with you to seek Jesus. First, pray. Go to our Heavenly Father. Ask him for his peace. Tell him how you're feeling. He wants to hear from you. He knows you. He knows how you're feeling, but he wants to be in constant fellowship with you. So tell him how you're feeling. Next, you can go to this. God's word. We can read God's word. We can read about the peace that he gives us. We can know his character through his word. We can get to know him more and more by reading his word because it's alive and breathing. Read his word and have his word tells you who he is, not the world. Next, you could listen to worship music. Y'all, every single day when I come into the church and I start my day, I turn on worship music immediately. Because as people come in who may have different problems, if I get emails about things that are going on, I can get worried, I can get stressed out, I can get anxious. And having that worship music playing while I'm listening to it recenters my mind on him. And so if you're able, play worship music and worship him wherever you are. You don't just have to worship him on Sunday. Worship him in your car. Worship him on the job site. Worship him at home. Worship him while you're going to sleep. Worship him. Next, this is something my wife and I have been doing, and it's journal about his goodness. And my wife and I, several years ago, started this journal that we keep on our computer, and as things happen in our lives, we're given things that just come out of nowhere, or God answers a prayer that we've been praying for a long time. We write those things down. That way, when we are anxious, when we're afraid, when we're nervous, when we're full of depression or guilt or whatever, we go back to that list and we see his goodness. We're reminded of everything that he's done for us. So if you haven't started a prayer journal or a God's goodness journal, start that because it will remind you of who he is. Next, you can seek a trusted Christian friend. Go to a friend who is a believer in Christ Jesus and ask them to pray with you and to pray for you because when you have people praying with you and for you, you know that there are people that are walking with you. And lastly, and this one's going to probably be tough, if you're full of anxiety and stress and maybe depression, fast. Fast from those things that are causing you anxiety and stress. I'm not saying fast from your family. Not what I'm saying. Don't say Troy told me to fast from you, babe. It's not what I'm saying. If you're on social media all the time, cut it off. Fast this holiday season. Maybe you're watching that news network. I don't care what you watch. Fast from that thing because it's probably giving you guilt and stress. Maybe you're going, Troy, I don't need to fast because I'm filling myself with food. Fast from food because you're seeking comfort in food when you should be seeking comfort in our Lord Jesus Christ. So fast from those things to recenter your life with him. So I would suggest that you fast. Jesus tells us that he has given us his peace. And those times when we feel like we're losing peace, seek Jesus and y'all, he will provide for you. Moving on to main point number two, which is this: the world gives us chaos. And we see this in John chapter 14, verse 27, continuing, I do not give to you as the world gives. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ does not give as the world gives. He gives as he gives. I want you to think about the world that we live in for just one second. The whole world. Think about the whole world. When you think about the whole world, do you picture overwhelming peace? Or do you see utter destruction and chaos? Church family, Jesus, who is all loving, all powerful, all merciful, all kindness, all knowing, gives us his peace. And that means the only thing that the world can give us is the exact opposite of what Jesus gives us. Jesus gives us peace, the world gives us chaos. And why? Why does the world give us chaos? Well, it's because Satan has control of the world for now. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 and 9 says this, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. And this is Satan trying to tempt Jesus. And y'all, I've always found this section of scripture really, really funny. Like Satan, created by God, tries to tempt God. That's funny. He cannot outmatch. He cannot overpower Jesus. But this is exactly what Satan does to us. He is trying to pull Jesus away from God and trying to push Jesus into the world. Church family, the world is in utter chaos. Turn on any news cycle. Don't care what you watch. You will see nothing but pain and destruction. Go online and you are going to see fighting and slander because people are behind keyboards yelling at each other. If you look anywhere in the world, y'all, there is no peace in sight. And if that isn't enough to convince you, maybe you're saying, Troy, you're making all this up. Think about the world around you and your life, right here, Georgetown, Texas, or the surrounding areas wherever you live. Think about your life. For instance, think about your family. If you're married, think about your spouse. Think about your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers. Maybe think about your finances. When you think about all those different areas of your life, do any of these things give you peace 100% of the time? I would venture to say no. But you might be saying, well, Troy, my family is amazing. I love my family. And y'all, I love my family too. My family is also amazing. But do they give you peace 100% of the time? Probably not. They're fallible humans. You might be saying, well, Troy, you don't know my spouse. They complete me. I love them. They will never hurt me. I know Ashley's thinking that right about me right about now. Yeah, she's laughing over there. Don't look over there. Guys, if you've been married for longer than about 5 seconds, you know that even your spouse can get under your skin. What about your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers? Have any of these people ever let you down? No raise of hands here, okay? No raise of hands. Have any of y'all wanted to move because your neighbor is that neighbor? Got some laughs? Yeah, a couple of y'all. Now, have any of y'all ever wanted to call into work because you didn't want to deal with that guy or that gal? What about your friends? Have they ever told you they were going to do something and they ended up not doing that? It hurts, y'all. It hurts. Maybe you're thinking about your peace and your finance going, Troy, my finances are great. I find peace in that. Guys, I know it's rough out there. I know the bank account might be a little bit lighter than it has been. Maybe the bills are piling up. You feel that pressure this holiday season to go buy the newest and greatest, biggest whatever thing, fill in the blank to keep up with your neighbors. That way your driveway looks cool. Maybe everyone else is getting that new car and you're still driving that Dave Ramsey junker. That's what I'm driving. That financial security that you're leaning heavily on, guys, it could come to end at any point. Church family, there are many things that I could talk about, many things that we can fill our lives with to get peace. But I think you get the picture of what I'm trying to say. Those things are great. Family, your spouse, your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, your finances are all really great. but they don't bring us lasting peace like Jesus does. And why is that? Because Jesus is the only thing that can give us true lasting peace. John 16:33 says it best. And this is Jesus talking. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Right here, right now, Jesus tells us and warns us that we are going to have trouble in our lives. Bummer. Maybe some of us thought as soon as we put our faith in Christ Jesus, our life was going to get so much easier. When we put our faith in Christ Jesus, we are not going to have any more health problems. Or man, my family is going to get reconnected together and life is going to go great. Jesus tells us that it's not going to be easy. He tells us directly, and he doesn't sugarcoat it. And why is this? It's because following Jesus means we are going directly against what the world wants us to do. It means that we are going to have to say no to things that our friends and family might be saying yes to. It means that we are going to follow God's will for our life rather than what we thought we were going to do. Church family, if you're seeking peace in anything, and I mean anything other than Christ Jesus, it's going to fail you. It may last for a little while, but eventually it's going to let you down. And this brings me to the most important question for someone here today that might be seeking Jesus. If you have not put your faith in Christ Jesus for salvation, what is holding you back? Jesus tells us that he has overcome the world. Fear, anxiety, depression, grief, deceit, all of these things he has overcome. He gives us a peace that transcends all understanding. If you don't believe me, let's see what the Apostle Paul has to say in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. He says this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Amen. If you are here today and you don't know Jesus, and you want that peace that I've been talking about for the last half hour, I want to challenge you to take that next step and put your faith in him. Have you trusted or find a trusted friend or believer in Christ to go to and pray with? I will be here after the service, and I would love to pray with you. We're going to have prayer partners come at the edge of the stage after service. They would love to pray with you. Find another pastor that works here. Find a greeter. Find somebody who's got a name badge and ask them to pray with you because, y'all, we want you to put your faith in Christ Jesus because he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Don't let the peace the world gives you weigh you down any longer. Turn to Jesus because he has overcome the world. And this brings us to our final main point today, which is this. Jesus overcame the world. The roof should have jumped off of this building. I'm saying it again. We may have missed it. Jesus overcame the world. John concludes here, y'all. John 14, 27, he says this. Jesus says this. "Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." That sound nice or what? What would your life look like if your heart wasn't troubled and you weren't afraid? I'm going to ask a rhetorical question now, but I want you to answer this question in your mind, okay? First, how many of us here in this room or online? Online, you're part of this today. How many of us have been troubled or afraid in the last month? No raise of hands, just in your mind. Last month, been troubled or afraid? Answer, bink. Next, just rhetorical, answer in your mind, no hands. How many of us have been afraid or troubled in the last 2 weeks? Answer, bink. How many of us have been afraid or troubled in the last week? Answer. Last one. How many of us have been afraid or troubled in the last 24 hours? I bet if I were to take a poll, most of us here in this room and online as well have been troubled or afraid in the last month, the last 2 weeks, the last week, and I bet most of us have even been troubled or afraid in the last 24 hours. Why? Life is hard, y'all. I'm going to be real with y'all for a second. People stink sometimes. jobs end. Our health fails us. We get a diagnosis that we weren't expecting. Our spouse hurts us in some kind of way. Our friends leave. Our family is a mess. Fill in the blank. Y'all, everywhere we look, we have the chance to be troubled. But there's only one person who will never hurt us. His name starts with J and ends with Jesus. And I want us all to say it together on the count of three. Ready? J, Jesus together. One, two, three. Jesus. Amen. And not only does Jesus not fail us, he is walking right there with us. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 tells us this. And Jesus says, "Come to me, Jesus, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Hallelujah. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Praise God. Do you think that the world can promise you that? Can the world promise you a yoke that is gentle and humble and will give you rest? No. In fact, the world promises you the exact opposite. The world tells you, look out for number one and number one only. Run over everybody in your path. You have got to be number one. That creates stress and anxiety and fear and loss of relationship. But those things that the world tells us to do are lies from the devil himself. Only Jesus, the God of the universe, can promise you true gentleness and humility and rest. Brother and sister, if you're walking in here today and you have a burden that you can't handle, maybe you've got a decision that you have to make that feels impossible. Maybe you have a diagnosis that you just got and you are really, really scared. Maybe you have a bank account that you don't know how you're going to refill. Maybe you have a marriage that feels cold and distant. If you feel the weight of the chaos of the world on your shoulders, turn to Jesus. Cast your fears and your worries on him. He tells us that when we believe in him, we put on his yoke. Because he is gentle, he is humble, and we will find rest in Christ Jesus. And his yoke, church fam, is a lot better to be yoked up with him than to be yoked up with the world. He will never fail us. He will never forsake us, and he will never leave us. He, Christ Jesus, lifts us up. The world tries to pull us down. So if you're here this morning and you feel like the weight of the world is on you, cry out to Jesus and receive his peace. Pray. Read God's word. Worship him on the daily. Reach out to a trusted Christian friend. Journal about his goodness and fast from those things that don't give you peace. God is faithful to answer you, brother or sister. If you haven't put your faith in Jesus today, I invite you to do that. Again, we're going to have prayer partners at the side. I will be down here up front if you want to pray, because that is the best gift that you can receive. What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for the world to fail you again? Because it will. He won't. As we go out today into this Christmas season, if you're a believer in Christ Jesus, I pray that you have a peace that transcends all understanding. I pray you have an opportunity this holiday season to share the hope, the truth, the love, the joy that you have that is only found in Christ Jesus. I pray you lean in on him and not your own understanding. And I pray that you make this season what it's truly about. Not the gifts, not the trees, not the family. It's about him. And if you don't know Jesus, I pray that you would put your faith in Jesus this holiday season, because that is the best gift that you will ever receive. If you want to do that today, our prayer partners will be up front after service. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, first off, just thank you for today, God, and thank you for this time that I get to gather with my brothers and sisters in Christ, God, and we get to dive into your word. God, your peace is so good. And we are lacking of that peace in the world, God, but we have it through you. When we are indwelled with the Holy Spirit, we have your power living inside of us. And God, so I just pray for my brothers and sisters. God, I rejoice with those who have peace in their life and they're walking with you, God. I pray for my brothers and sisters who are struggling to find peace in their lives. God, I pray that they would have the wisdom and the discernment and the knowledge to turn to you, God, and that they would find their true peace in you. God, and I pray for that person today that maybe have walked into this room or is online this morning who doesn't know you. God, who is longing for peace and longing for joy and hope. God, I pray that they would put their faith in you. That way they have eternal life, that they have salvation through you, God, and that they would begin to walk with you. God, I pray that as we go out today, we would be a light in this dark place. God, and that we would just glorify you in our words and in our actions and all that we do. God, we love you so much. We're so grateful for your son, Jesus. Your son's holy name we pray. Amen. All right, y'all, this week, go out this week understanding that you have a peace that transcends all understanding, and also go out this week knowing that he is the reason for the season. God bless y'all. Happy Thanksgiving, and have a great week.